Acts 4:32-5:11. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have lied. You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. When some young men came forward, wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events.
Things happened so far in the book of Acts. This would have to be the strangest, I reckon. Whatever fraud Ananias and Sapphira committed, seems it was enough for God to make them drop dead on the spot. Fraud's a pretty serious thing. One of the most well-known fraudsters was Frank Abagnale. The film Catch Me If You Can was based on his story. The real Frank Abagnale pretended at various times to be a pilot, a teacher, a lawyer, and a doctor. In the year that he spent pretending to be a doctor, a child in his care almost died because he didn't know what he was doing. He eventually stopped pretending to be a pilot because he realised he was putting hundreds of lives at risk, including his own, of course. By pretending to be something he wasn't, he was putting real lives in danger. In the book that was written about his life, he gave the reasons why he did it. He said, "Whenever I felt lonely, depressed, rejected, or doubtful of my own worth, I'd dress up in my uniform and seek out a crowd. The uniform brought me respect and dignity. I felt great in my uniform. I was obviously commanding respect and esteem. Men looked at me admiringly or enviously. Pretty women and girls smiled at me. Every man, woman, and child who noticed me seemed warm and friendly." Notice how all the jobs he chose, pilot, teacher, lawyer, doctor, they're all kind of impressive, aren't they? This is why Frank Abagnale pretended to be something he wasn't, to build himself up. He even put lives in danger to make himself look good. Fraud's a dangerous thing in our church community. What would happen if we just pretended to be on board with what Jesus was doing here in Bathurst? We've been reading about the Holy Spirit and how he's the muscle behind the gospel reaching out to people. What would happen if instead of taking the work of the Holy Spirit seriously, we tried to use it for our own selfish gain? Well, in this part of Acts we've read tonight, there's three characters in the church. We've got Joseph, Ananias, and Ananias' wife, Sapphira. Each of them comes and puts something at the feet of the apostles, claiming that they want to be a part of what the church is doing. And what they each put down shows where their hearts are at, whether or not they're really on board with the Holy Spirit, or whether they're just pretending. Now, back in chapter 1, Jesus told his followers that they'd take the gospel from Jerusalem all the way to the very ends of the earth. When he said that, he was telling us as individuals that we should be disciple makers. But he was also telling us that as a community, as a church, as a gathering of believers, that we are a community of disciple makers. We're a church that makes Christ-like sacrifices for each other. We tell each other and we show each other what Jesus has done for us. And as we do that, we show the outside world what Jesus has done for them. Have a look with me at Acts chapter 4, verse 32, where we started tonight. Luke writes, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet." Here we see a community that was genuinely a part of what Jesus was doing in the world. They were so sincere about what was going on, they were willing to share all their possessions. None of them claimed that because they owned something, they were the only one who was allowed to make use of it. They had such a real belief about what the Spirit was doing, they didn't need to use what they had just for their own gain. Back in those days, and I think it's true to a certain extent today, lending something to someone or doing a favour was done with the expectation that that person would then owe you one. So these actions were very countercultural. These people didn't monopolise what they had. They freely gave what they had. They were united by the desire to keep on testifying about the resurrection of Jesus. They wanted people to know what Jesus did. They wanted people to know that Jesus was crucified so they could know God. They wanted to see the kingdom grow. They weren't united by some political ideal like communism. The goal wasn't that nobody owned anything. The goal was that everyone used what they had to spread God's love. This was much, much bigger than a narrow ideology. Now, this was people who were re-evaluating their priorities. They were discovering that the stuff that they were accumulating wasn't as important as the Holy Spirit's work in their lives. And so they made Christ-like sacrifices for each other. It says that people sold houses and land and brought the money. They didn't sell the houses they were living in and make themselves homeless. That would be kind of silly. This was people who had extra houses or a second house or, I guess, a holiday home or something. Or extra fields or whatever it was. And they sold these properties and then brought the money. It was a group of people where the people who could were helping those who needed it. And then Luke tells us about this guy, Joseph, who's a prime example of what he's talking about. Joseph, we're told, was a Levite who sold one of his fields and gave the money to the apostles so they could give it to whoever needed it. Now, Levi was one of the tribes of Israel, and the Levites were the priestly tribe. All the priests and the folks who worked in the temple were Levites. And the other 11 tribes of Israel used to give the Levites land and food and whatever they needed so that they could focus on their work in the temple. So here's a man who could have expected that people would serve him, people would give him land, and yet he gave up what he had to encourage the gospel's growth. In fact, what Joseph did here is the opposite of what Judas did. Judas, the man who betrayed Jesus. Back in Acts chapter 1, Luke gave us a reminder about how Judas betrayed Jesus for money and then used that money to buy a field. But here, we see Joseph, he has a field, he sold his field, and he used the money to do the opposite of betray Jesus, to support what Jesus was doing. This man, Joseph, knew what it meant to make a Christ-like sacrifice. Now, Jesus never sinned. Jesus could have expected to be worthy to be served by others, but he made the ultimate sacrifice by dying on the cross for humanity. And so what Joseph came and put at the apostles' feet was a sacrifice. And not a sacrifice in the Old Testament sense. We don't need those sacrifices now we have Jesus. But he saw Jesus' sacrifice for him, and he knew that he didn't need to pretend. He showed he was genuinely a part of what Jesus was doing. And it wasn't just this one event, this one thing he did. He had a reputation for it. His nickname is Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Barnabas is a Hebrew name. It means son of a preacher, son of someone who encourages people with the gospel. And the word Luke uses, I think it's been very deliberately chosen, the word Luke uses for encouragement here is the Greek word paraklesis. The Holy Spirit is often referred to in the Bible as the paraclete, the helper, the encourager. See, this guy Joseph, we're being told, he could not possibly be more committed to what the Holy Spirit is doing as he spreads the gospel. Here's a bloke totally willing to give what he has to encourage his community with the gospel. And he showed where his heart was by loving the community of witnesses around him. Well, how can we use what we have to help each other like Joseph did? Because when we help each other, we help Jesus' kingdom grow. We can't have one without the other. We can't be one in heart and mind about sharing the gospel without supporting each other. The growth in our community comes from the inside. It comes from the Holy Spirit working here in our church, and then it reaches out. So as we tell people, as we tell our friends and our colleagues about the resurrection of Jesus, are our priorities the same as Joseph's? You've probably noticed that for children, sharing is not exactly top priority. I've noticed it in my nephews and nieces. Now, I love my nephews and nieces, but sometimes they will go absolutely ballistic if someone touches their toy or their book or whatever it is. It's not that they're actually using it, it's just that it's theirs and they don't want anyone else touching it. Of course, when we grow up, hopefully we don't do that with toys anymore. But sometimes we still have that attitude. I know I do. My time is mine, and I get cranky when someone takes it. My house is mine, and I don't want to clean it up after having people over for dinner. My Saturday morning is for sleeping in and watching Rage, and I don't want to help friends move house. I'm tired on Thursday night, and I really don't want to go out for small group. I've got my own friends at church. I don't want to give up 5 minutes to talk to the new person, and definitely not the weird person. My Sunday mornings are for sleeping in, and I don't want to get up early and read the Bible with someone. Plus, asking someone to read the Bible together is just awkward, and feeling awkward is definitely not a sacrifice that I want to make. If you've ever felt that way, and I have a lot of the time, that's why I can think of those examples so easily. If we've ever thought that way, well, it's time for us to grow up. Time for us to start sharing our toys. Because if we're real about what Jesus is doing, then it's time for us to show it in the way we love and look out for each other. Even being willing to make sacrifices for each other without expecting anything in return. Well, that's the good. The bad is being like Ananias. Ananias was a man whose heart wasn't in it. He gave, but he wanted something in return. In fact, he was just pretending to be on board with what the Spirit was doing. And so what he ended up putting at the feet of the apostles was a lie. Have a look at chapter 5, verse 1. Luke says, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property, just like Joseph did. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You haven't lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. It's pretty clear what Ananias was doing. The property was his. The money from the sale was his to do with it whatever he wanted. He and his wife secretly kept some of the money for themselves while saying they were giving it all to those who needed it. Peter makes it very clear that the money belonged to Ananias and it was his choice to do what he wanted with it. The fact that he gave a smaller amount than he could have given is not his crime. What he did wrong was pretend. He pretended he was giving it all. He was lying. Now, maybe a mutual friend informed Peter of the lie. Maybe the Holy Spirit told Peter miraculously. Who knows? But Peter knew about the lie. And he didn't care that Ananias had lied to him. He cared that Ananias had lied to God. He'd lied to the Holy Spirit. He was trying to claim to be all for what the Spirit was doing in the world, but he wasn't. He wanted to look like he was part of the action, but his real interest was himself. He was half-hearted. He didn't really want to be a witness about Jesus to the world. He wanted to glorify himself instead of glorifying Jesus. He was not interested in helping his fellow Christians as they followed Jesus. He wanted people to think he was making a sacrifice, and he would have gotten away with it, except the Spirit knew. He wasn't just lying to people. The Holy Spirit knew he wasn't really committed to seeing people come to know Jesus as their King. And we mustn't be pretenders like Ananias was. All those great things we can do, like what Joseph did when he sold his field, they're no good if they're faked. It's pretty easy to come to church and say the right things and get involved in a few programs, even get ourselves on a couple of rosters. But those things are no good if we're not wholeheartedly behind the idea that what Jesus is doing in the people around us is important. We can't come to church hoping to just look like Christians or just to gain credibility with people. If we come to church and put on our Christian face and hope it makes people look up to us, or even hope it gets us noticed by pretty Christian girls, or Christian blokes if you are a girl, if we do it to make ourselves look cool or feel good about ourselves, we're just a scam like Frank Abagnale, aren't we? I think one great way to make sure we're sincere about what the Spirit's doing is to make sure that we're actually helping people. And do the things we do build ourselves up in the eyes of others, or does what we do build others up in their relationship with God? Are we at church for what we can get out of it, or what we can contribute? If we lie to the Spirit and we're not real about what he's doing, there's no place for us in the church community. As we've seen so far in Acts, a huge part of the church community is that it's a gathering of witnesses. It's a group of people who speak the gospel of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. If our actions are all about making ourselves look good, then we're just a dead weight in that community. We're dragging it down. We've seen the good and the bad, This is the ugly. Sophia wanted the community to be all about her, and her dead body ended up at the feet of the apostles. Have a look at chapter 5, verse 7. It says, about 3 hours later, his wife Sapphira came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. When Sapphira showed up, Peter gave her a chance to be innocent of the mistake her husband made. A chance not to lie. A chance not to use this lie to get herself social cred. But she showed her true colours. She confirmed they were faking their generosity. She showed in her heart she wanted to use and abuse the church community for her own gain. What the Spirit was doing was irrelevant to her. And Peter rightfully says, how could you? How could you, together with your husband, agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Compare what Ananias and Sapphira did together with the togetherness we saw in the first few verses about the early church. The togetherness of Ananias and Sapphira was the wrong sort of togetherness, and it was threatening the togetherness of the community that was one in heart and mind when it came to spreading the gospel. The community's ability to share the gospel was threatened by Ananias and Sapphira's lies. What they did went directly against what the Spirit was doing. They chose to undermine the Spirit's work for their own selfish gain. See, Ananias and Sapphira were tearing down what Jesus was building up. They were a dead weight in the community, holding it back from sharing the gospel in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's why what they did was so ugly. Sapphira was willing to walk all over the sacrifice that Jesus made for her. And she paid the price. There's no place in church community for people like her. This is the sort of selfishness we can't afford to have. When we gather at night church, there's no us and them. As soon as we start thinking of ourselves at the expense of others, like Sapphira did, we start compromising the work of Jesus here in Bathurst. We're compromising what Jesus has done in us here, and we're compromising what the Holy Spirit could do through us to reach the people around us. We'd be like an Olympic rowing team where one of the rowers just hangs his feet over the sides of the boat and doesn't bother rowing. You'd sack that guy. He's holding you back. If we want to be part of the team, but we're really just being selfish, we're essentially walking all over what Jesus is doing. Every time we complain that we're not getting anything out of church, we're causing fractures in our community. Every time we gossip about people to make ourselves feel good, we're causing fractures. Every time we show off, every time we use a relationship to get ahead, these are negative things. We've got to be much more constructive than that. Now let's be like the example of Joseph. He was a great guy, wasn't he? Now let's put our own interests to the side for the sake of each other like he did. One better, let's follow the example Joseph was following, Jesus. Jesus gave up everything for God's plan. That's where it's at, isn't it? Jesus should be the center of everything we do. Now, he wasn't just an example. He gave up his life so that God's plan of salvation for us and for others here in Bathurst could actually happen. Now that we know the gospel, now that we know Jesus, we should know what it means to make Christ-like sacrifices. Let's lay down what we have for each other so that everyone can see what Jesus has done for us. Let's not pretend. Let's really get on board with that. Let's pray. God, we know you have a plan. We want to be part of that. We want to be part of what the Holy Spirit is doing. God, please help us think of ways we can build each other up and help each other out and look after those here at church who aren't doing as well as we might be. Help us be generous. Help us never to pretend or abuse our community just to get ahead. We want to be part of what Jesus is doing, and we know that he's making the world new by the power of the gospel. Please help us love the gospel and what it's doing here at our church. Amen.